Knows Parenting. I'm Beth Newell, editor and co-founder of the satirical women's magazine Reductress.
And I'm Peter McNerney, actor, improviser, less impressive titles, her husband. And we are real-life married couple and parents.
We have two children,
ethereal boy named Bryn.
A three-year-old boy named Bryn and a 21.
21. She wins.
I don't think this script is outdated. She's probably 22 months.
Yeah, let's stop reading the script.
This is a parenting podcast where we compare notes on our week. We never talk to each other, and this is where we hash it out.
This is where we get into it. Oh, Beth, my darling wife, it's lovely to see you.
Good to see you.
We've actually been around each other a lot this week.
Yeah, too much.
But in the most stressful way, because what has happened this week, the ongoing theme of this podcast is our kids are always sick. Not sick, but just sick enough where we can't take them to daycare.
Yeah, right now it's the end of March, and someone in our house has been sick almost every week definitely every week since Christmas.
So Bryn was, he was sick on Friday, blah, 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 took him home. He was like, fine, had a fever because Maven had it the week before, and then no more fever after like Saturday afternoon. Sunday he was totally fine. So after being totally shamed.
I think he did have a fever. He was just had medicine, so that was suppressing the fever.
Okay, well, we're just not good parents. And so we
anyway,
like,
after 3 days home.
Well, we sent him back on Monday, and they sent him right back again. This is twice we have taken him from daycare and sent him right back, and then they call us, and they are pissed.
They weren't pissed this time.
They're pissed at our doctors, but they should be pissed at us.
Right. But Bryn has this phenomenon where he's at home. He's like perky talking to us. He's like, hey, mommy, I'm up at six. What's up? I'm cool.
Yeah.
And then the second
what's up?
You,
I'm cool.
The second you drop him off at daycare, he's like, my tummy hurts. I have a headache.
And the weird thing is they're like, he has blisters in his mouth. He's real sick. And I was like, what?
Yeah. So
and
this...
I have yet to see one of these blisters that apparently are covering his tummy.
I didn't see any, right? I didn't see any, but I didn't really look.
I looked many times.
This definitely freaked me out because he's had this fever, and people in my mom Facebook group are always talking about hand, foot, mouth disease, also known as Coxsackie, which is the most ridiculous name ever. Coxsackie. And so I was like, we can't get this. And I also, around the same time, I felt like I had a weird little like mouth canker sore, and I was like, if I get hand, foot, and mouth disease,
Coxsackie,
after all this illness we've all had, I'm going
to
die.
So I went to school to pick him up, and I'm like, we're the worst. Everyone's getting sick, and it's all our fault. So I go there, and I'm like, so is everyone getting sick? And she's like, oh, no. No one but your kids, over and over and over.
I don't think that's what she meant, though. I think she meant on that specific day.
Well, I took it as
somebody's never getting our kids sick, and they don't go anywhere besides daycare.
Anyway, our kids get the most mild sickness in the world.
Yeah.
And it's just enough to cry at daycare.
So we've both been stuck home with Bryn for what feels like forever. And even,
but on top of it, we would have taken him back to school 3 days ago because he was fine the next day. Snow day. The blizzard apocalypse, which was nothing. Everything's canceled. It was like the most mild snowstorm. And so the doctor was close.
Well, it was snowing during commute times. It's not like,
sure. Well, I'm from Minnesota, so I have to be really like pompous about it that you're all babies about driving.
Yeah, no matter how much it snows, you have to be like, I've seen worse.
I had to drive to school in, you know, blah blah blah.
I'm from Massachusetts, so I'm not used to snow.
I'm not talking about you. You're great. You're not afraid of snow. That's why I love you.
Right, but there's reasons they make these rules, and it's so people don't crash their
cars
off the side of the road.
Yeah, because people crash their cars, and it's dangerous to send kids out. I know why, but okay. I still feel like I should be a jerk about it.
So we had the snow day, so then we're now stuck home with two kids,
mm-hmm.
which is
slightly
maddening. It's just because it was on top of all the other stuff. It's like we're just not getting our work done.
There's kids here constantly.
So then yesterday, on top of it all, the snow day's over. There's barely any snow left. You decide to take Bryn to urgent care to get a doctor's note so that he can go back to school. But that plan fails.
Urgent care. So we went the day before and we get there. I dropped Maven off and I was like, I'm going to take Bryn to the doctor. We'll be back later. Go to urgent care. No sign in the window. 8 o'clock rolls around. No one's there. I stand there for 20 minutes.
I've also been to urgent care where there's no sign on the window and just no one there. And it's frustrating. Yesterday was like a series of unfortunate events because I was all ready to finally have a work day at home alone. You take Brent out. I think we're finally rid of him.
You think so? I thought so too.
Then you walk back in the door, saunter in with that boy. And I...
You think I was sauntering?
He was.
Oh, yeah, he was.
So then, of course, come nap time, he boycotts his nap and is so insanely difficult. So then I can't get any work done during nap time. And so I try to take him to the grocery store where he acts difficult and insists on not sitting in the cart but pushing the cart around the store himself. He's wants to crash the cart into things. And then he's climbing under the cart into the little bottom tray.
Yeah.
He also wanted to put our food under the cart in that area. And then the guy at checkout was trying to be really helpful and friendly, but in a way that was just slowing everything down. And he was like, let me give you some stickers. And I'm like, fine. He's seen these stickers before. They're not impressive. Trader Joe's
buddy, this kid has seen stickers before.
Trader Joe's has stickers, which is really nice, but
he's quickly over the stickers.
So not only does this guy give him stickers, he gives the longest amount of stickers I've ever seen, which is just like so unwieldy to carry around. And then he gives Bryn a lollipop, which was actually pretty helpful, but then it kind of amped Bryn up more, and he was dancing around the store and like insisting on wandering away from me while I try to pay for things. And the guy, again, trying to be friendly and helpful, kept chatting to me about Bryn and like, I'm putting more lollipops in your bag for later. And I'm like, just pack the food.
Just get us the hell out of here. Like,
anyway.
Guy.
But it had nothing to do with this guy. I was just, at this point, so tired.
It's just day four.
Having this kid around. Anyway.
This kid.
Well, but he is having this little moment of being a big kid just hanging out at home, which is kind of, it's like scary and exciting to see him learn to do things. Like yesterday, he pulled a box of cereal off the counter and stuck his hand in and grabbed a fistful of cereal and put it into a bowl and then walked out of the room. And I was like, oh, you're learning how to get your own cereal. This is progress.
Yeah, like this, I see many potential downsides, but the plus is I'm not doing it.
Right.
Now it's time for We Knows Wins. This is where we share some of our parenting successes, some victories for the week. Beth, I know you have one. Mm-hmm. Share it with us.
Okay, so weeks like this, I'm trying to give myself the perspective of like, okay, some of this is like a disaster, but it doesn't break me the way it used to, especially mm-hmm. when I think back on the times when I was postpartum during the election and also dealing with a thyroid issue when some of these things would have really broken me. So
when your life was a blanket of sadness.
Yeah, when I live, my life was a living hell. So I had...
I'm very happy that we are laughing about this.
So I... Maven was doing her thing the other day where she wants to go potty. She's she's like really taking the initiative on the potty train. And so
I think she more wants to say she wants to go potty than wants to go potty.
Well, I've seen her do it a few times, but she she really makes an effort. So she gets on the potty. She like insists on going potty. This was coming out of the bath, which is easier. I usually let her try because I can tell if I don't, she's going to poop in the bathtub. So I think she was getting out.
She likes pooping in that tub way more than Brid did.
She loves to. I think it's just sort of soothing. And
you know what? It sort of makes me want to poop in the tub. Kids aren't home. Like, is it time to try that?
Well, if you do, don't tell me about it. So she...
Hey, Beth, look what I did! I pooped in the tub!
Okay, so she's sitting on the potty. Bryn's watching. He's kind of annoyed because he's like, the potty's my thing. Yeah. Why is she trying to do this?
Well, she was trying to do my thing.
Yeah, so she's sitting on the potty, and she does this thing where she's like, she makes this insane face, so much effort, and she's like, and she's like, she talks about it a lot. It takes her a while, and she's like, I go poop. I gotta go poop.
A little
and you're
pep
like,
talk.
And I'm like, I don't think you have to go. This is just a performance. So she's doing this, and I like... I think this was like the end of a long day and I was getting pretty exhausted. So I was like, she's not going to go. And she was refusing to put her diaper on. So I think I just walked out of the bathroom at that point because I was just like, this is getting kind of maddening. Yeah. Like I was like, you don't have to poop. So So I go in the living room and I get that feeling of like, okay, wait, I think she might actually be doing something in there. And so I run back in. She is pooping. This is actually two incidents I'm mixing up right now. But the first one this week, she pooped. And then I'm like, she's like, yay, poop. But I'm like, wait, I think you're still pooping. And she stands up so excited. She's like, poop. And she still has another poop coming out that's attached to her. So that falls out of the front of the potty onto the bath mat, our like white cloth bath mat.
I was wondering where that went.
I'm like, okay. So I was pretty proud of myself. I'm like, Maven, but I wasn't like pissed. Yeah. I was just like, this happens with kids. So I like clean it up. It's fine. And she's like, I pooped. And she's like,
does a victory
she's,
lap.
She's like, still like cheering. She's like, why are you not cheering? Like, poop came out of me.
And this then, is what, mom, this is what you've been asking for.
So then last night, very similarly, she's came out of the bath, pooped in the potty. Again, I don't know why I left the room. Again, I was like, she's not going to poop because she was making such a performance out of it, being like, and I was like, I don't know if this is going to happen. So I come back in. She's standing over the potty, poking her poop with her finger. She's like, poop.
So like poop. Her Maven's poop is like your Michigan J frog.
Oh my God.
Where it's only when you walk away.
I guess.
That doesn't track perfectly.
I don't know this analogy, what's happening.
You know Michigan J frog? It's the Looney Tunes where the guy's like, finds the frog, goes, hello, my honey, hello. That's,
isn't that the WB frog?
Yes, but it was originally a Looney Tunes cartoon, and this guy finds a dancing, singing frog, and he's like, wow, wow, and he puts it in a box, and he goes to show people, and whenever he shows people, the frog's like, he's just a frog. And so it's about this guy
okay. Well, whenever going mad. You describing that frog just makes me think, like, oh, Dawson's Creek is on next, or whatever. So yeah, she was touching
R.I.P. WB.
She's touching her poop. Why do you say R.I.P.? Isn't it? It's the CW. It's still there.
It merged with UPN. Remember UPN?
Yeah, I do. UPN always had the most dismal bad Sunday movies.
Yeah, it was WB and UPN were these like not doing great networks.
UPN was
they
like
merged into the CW. I think.
We didn't have a lot of movies in our house growing up. My dad didn't like us to buy movies. So UPN, I would always be like, ooh, a movie's on TV. And then it's just this very dark, bad cop movie thing. Something you're like, this is unwatchable.
And it's 4 hours long because of commercials, but they've still edited it down to be a shorter movie.
Anyway, yeah. So our daughter loves to touch her poop and you can't take your eyes off her.
Well, I'm glad that your We Knows Wins this week is our daughter touching her own poop.
So I'm proud.
Congrats.
This next segment is called Did You Knows? This is a segment where Peter learns and shares a parenting or child-related fact. Peter, what's your knowledge?
Okay. I like this fact. It's a simple fact, but it connects with something that I've spent a lot of time writing about, thinking about, reading about. And it's comedy.
You're literally pumping your fists in the air right now about whatever this fact is. So
it's my favorite. It's my favorite thing. So the simple fact is that kids on average laugh 300 times a day, whereas adults laugh about 60 times a day, which feels right to me. But the thing that's really interesting. So I've done a lot of reading about comedy theories. What is comedy? There's only one book I ever read where I was like, this is it. This makes sense. So the gist of it is humor feels really good. Anything that feels good in your brain is a reward system that your brain gives you because it wants you to go after something. Sex, food feel great because it requires a lot of energy to go get those things. So why, what is humor? Why do you feel good? So the theory in this book that I read, it's called Inside Jokes, a very dry, amazing book, is that humor is the correction of a falsely committed active belief. So because we have so much sensory information coming in all the time, your brain is designed to filter out unimportant information and just go, hey, just focus on this. This is all you need to know about. That's your attention. That's what's active in your mind. That gets you through the day because you can assess the situation quickly and move on. But there is a danger to that, which is if you make the wrong assumption about something, you are potentially in danger and blind to a threat in your environment, to this hunter-gatherer. So humor is a backup system. It encourages you to double check your current assumptions about things. So when you realize, ah, I've made a mistake, the reward is that feeling of, ah, ha, I was wrong. And so the laugh, when I laugh out loud, that's a social indicator to those around me. Hey, guys, I made a wrong assumption about something, but I just figured it out. You might want to double check your assumptions. I could talk about this for an hour and a half more if you want.
I don't think this is all humor.
I absolutely do.
I mean, this explanation, I have to say, takes all the fun out of
humor. Oh, yeah. This is why you hate talking about this, but this brings me such joy.
I just don't think this is, I don't think this is 100% of all humor.
Every comedy theory I've ever read has 12 exceptions. They're like, well, tickling doesn't fit into this. But this is the only one where it fits every single example.
I just, it's so funny you reading all these comedy theory things, because it's like not, in my mind, that's like not a good way to be good at comedy.
Oh, no. I agree. If I was like, hey, you want to get into comedy? Read this book. This does not help
it's
you
just
at all.
Like such
this
a...
This is, as an improv teacher, as already having been in comedy for a long time, reading something that fits in with what I've been teaching is like so satisfying to me. Anyway, I think this fits in perfectly with this fact, which is kids are constantly learning new things, obviously. And so kids are much smarter than people give them credit for. They make brilliant assumptions about the world with not enough information. So they're constantly going, okay, well, I know this. So this new thing must mean this. Mm-hmm. And so
when they say things like, do you have bones or something? Like when they ask you weird questions about your body.
Yeah, so we're constantly laughing at them.
Like, did we talk about this when Bryn said, I asked him if he went pee and he was like, yeah, I have a wiener. And I was like, did you go poop? And he goes, no, I don't have a butt.
Yeah, the kid logic is so satisfying. But they're constantly being asked to adjust their expectations. And they realize, like, oh, this must be this. And then they learn something new. And everything's hilarious because they have a belief. Like, your brain automatically makes assumptions about things. But this constantly being corrected when you're little. And there's so much humor in that, in discovery. In that, like, this is all new to me. Whereas you become an adult and you experience fewer new things. There's fewer things that are a surprise. Your expectations are met as you expect them to be more often. And those people that are like, you need just like a childlike attitude. Have more fun. Laugh. I'm like, that sort of stuff is so dumb to me. When it's like, just have a kid's point of view. It's like, well, you can't. Because you have had...
Who's telling you to do this?
And where I found this fact. This is on like a cute list of facts. And afterwards, they're like, so maybe you should think about like being cool like a kid.
You said you read it in a book.
No. The comedy theory was a book.
Okay.
This 300 laughs a day, I Googled that shit.
I would like to think I laugh more than 60 laughs a day. But some days, probably not.
If you're around people... Like if I'm teaching improv classes, I laugh constantly. But if I'm home alone, because an actual, like, you can feel humor when you're alone, but the actual laugh, that happens when you're around people much, much more. And there's tons of statistics to back that up.
Right.
Anyway, if you want to write in and challenge my comedy theory, I will back it up. But I can tell from Beth's glazed over eyes that we can't get into it.
No, this was really funny.
Cool.
This next segment is called Listeners Want to Knows, where we try to answer questions from our audience members.
All right, so this week's question comes to us from Nick in Brooklyn, who wants to know, his baby is currently teething, and so he's wondering, is there anything we can do to soothe our child's pain beyond Tylenol, Motrin, or frozen chew toys? Nope.
No, that's it.
Okay, great. All right, next segment.
This next segment is called We Knows Theater. This is a segment where we...
Brand new.
We improvise scenes with our kids, let them do a little bit of improv comedy. This scene we're going to play for you is a scene where I was doing with the kids in bed with some stuffed animals. I was playing the role of...
Bunny ice cream shop owner.
Yeah, Maven was playing the role of moose, and Bryn was... elephant? I don't remember. Anyway, this scene, I gotta say, is a little bit long, but I think there's a strong payoff towards the end. So please enjoy the ice cream shop incident with Bryn and Maven.
Yes, recorded via iPhone. Enjoy.
Can I have an iPhone so I can have some ice cream?
Oh, yeah.
So it doesn't jump off?
Okay, here's an ice cream cone, Pig.
Thank you. I want some ice cream on the ice cream cone.
Okay, hold on, fellas. I can only dish out so many ice creams at once. Hold on.
I'm getting cold.
Okay, here you go, Moose. That'll be $1.99.
$1 for me.
No, Pig, the cost is $1.99.
Okay. Thank you.
Again. Moose, you want another one?
Yeah.
You've had a lot of ice cream today, Moose. You sure you can handle one more?
Yeah.
Okay, here you go.
I ate so many at my house, and now my tummy's rumbling, see?
Oh, Pig, your tummy's rumbling from all the ice cream you ate?
Yeah.
You're not going to throw up, are you? Oh, Pig, you just threw up all over my ice cream shop. Moose, why are you throwing up?
I'm so sick.
You're just sick?
Yeah, I said. That was just a mess. I throwed up on my nose, and now I gotta shake it off.
Oh, guys, please don't just shake it off all over my ice cream shop. It's getting everywhere.
Now it's just pooping.
Who's pooping? Pig is pooping?
No, your shop is. I poop.
My shop is pooping?
Yes, it is.
Oh, no. Moose, are you pooping on a table over there?
Yeah.
Moose, that's yucky. People eat ice cream on these tables.
No, they poop on tables.
I poop.
Well, now they do. Oh, boy.
I poop.
I'm going to call the police.
Poop. I poop.
Moose, stop pooping on all the ice cream tables.
Yeah, we have to.
Pig, you don't have to poop all over my ice cream shop.
Yeah. Oh, I'm gonna eat a lot of ice creams again. Goodbye now.
Oh, no. They just took my ice creams and ran out of here after they threw up and pooped all over my ice cream shop.
I'm sick, and now my tummy's rumbling again. I have to throw up in your shop.
I can't believe you guys are already back here in my ice cream shop after you just...
But I threw up again.
Yeah, you throwing up in my ice cream shop is not going to make me serve you more ice cream.
Yeah, I'm going to get more ice cream.
Oh, no, he jumped over the counter. He's getting it. Oh, Pig.
I got it. Oh, where are my ice creams?
Hi.
Oh, Moose, now you want to be polite?
My shirt does...
I'm sick because my tummy's rumbling again.
Your shirt is gone, Moose?
Yeah.
I have to throw up in your shop.
Pig, you need to get out of here and stop throwing up in my ice cream shop.
I don't get it.
Moose, you and Pig need to take your friend Pig out of here because he's already thrown up in my shop 5 times this evening. And that is not acceptable. I'm calling the police. Oh, he's throwing up in my face. Oh, Moose, you're throwing up in my face, too.
Now it's time for a segment we call Would You Knows, where we posit a hypothetical parenting situation to the other. And I'm very excited because starting this week, our hypothetical Would You Knows are coming from the fans. So we went online. And we got some great suggestions. And this first one comes to us from Ben. And Beth, I'm going to give this one to you. Okay? I like this one.
Okay.
This is, I wouldn't have thought of this. Ben says, your very small child is somehow granted very dangerous and potentially important superpowers. Let's say heat vision. You are normal. How do you keep your child from destroying the city and or becoming like that kid with mind powers in that one episode of Twilight Zone that I think Cloris Leachman was in?
Wow. This is hard. This is a real parenting problem.
Oh, I gotta say, have you seen the Incredibles 2 trailer?
No.
So the premise is Jack-Jack, who's the baby, suddenly has all of these powers, and he's an infant, and he's like laser eyes, and it stresses me out so much to watch it. Like, he disappears. He has like all powers. And he's an infant. And that's terrifying to me.
Yeah, I don't want to see that movie. Based off what you just described. Okay, here's the thing. If your kids,
okay,
in emergency situations with kid tantrums / acting out, I would say my gut is to give a treat, a distraction, like a sugar thing, like in a real emergency.
Well, yeah, okay. Sure.
This could definitely blow up in your face.
Literally. Are we going with heat vision? Because he gave us some options. If our child had heat vision, and if he threw a tantrum, looked at us, and burned a hole through us.
Okay, the heat vision, the child has no control over it. It's like when Magneto takes off his glasses.
When Magneto takes off his glasses? You mean Cyclops?
Yeah, I mean Cyclops. It's
No. Late. I'm going to define the rules of this for you. Okay, I think it's heat vision, which is, if he really, like, squeezes his eyes and concentrates, like, a beam comes out. And because he's little, it burns like a magnifying glass has been on you for an hour, but in a second. So it's a little burn, like a cigarette burn. And it's dangerous. And it can start little fires. And it's when
it's
the child...
It's only as strong as a cigarette burn? Because then I'm just going to rush the kid and grab him. That's obviously. It's like a kid with a pair of scissors.
Okay, let's say that when they're an infant, that's what it's like. But as they get older, they can control it more. So by the time they're 13, they
Where
can like...
Where are we? When are we?
Now,
what's happening?
Everything else is the same. Bryn has heat vision.
And when so he's at like 30% strength on heat vision, somewhere between a cigarette burn and fire.
And a spontaneous combustion. When he hits 18... He can set your whole body on fire by choosing to.
I mean, I think I just have to rush him because if I don't get to him in time, I then become the mom whose kid burned up the world. There's nothing.
We have to take him to a special mutant home. We'd have to, here's what we would have to do, is we would have to either move or dedicate a room in our house that's like our fireproof room. And it's his major league timeout room where he has to go, and it's all ceramic.
Okay. Knowing our son, though, it's not a timeout room. He's in there 24 hours a day. He's not going to not use this power on us.
So he's not going to have a life at all. We're going to put him in superhero prison.
It sounds like his eyes are open and it's happening. Like,
oh, no, not constantly. No. This is what I said. At times of emotional stress and when he really focuses... Like fire starter.
I think, you know, this is the kind of problem with our kids that will destroy our relationship. Because there's no way we're going to agree on tactics. We're not going to get through this as a couple.
So you're saying is if Bryn has heat vision, we'll get divorced.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure of it.
Would you just take Maven and leave me with the mutant child?
I mean...
You haven't dealt with the problem.
What are my options? That sounds like a pretty good one in this scenario.
Oh, it's okay.
Like, otherwise I have to, like, try to backseat drive you chasing our mutant son around while he burns things up, and then I have to, like...
So you take the same tactic you do when you see a spider, which is just, I'm out of here. You better deal with this while I'm gone.
I just don't think there's a scenario in which the two of us are doing this and you're not... trying to take an authoritative role where you think you're the decider on how to handle, and you're also not just running into the problem.
Oh, I'd get burned way more than you would. Hey, you know what? If Bryn gets heat vision, I'll take care of it.
Okay, I'm going to take Maven and move away.
my God. I will very much miss you.
and not being burned all the time. Thanks, Ben, for that would-you-knows.
Thanks, Ben. That was a really fun question.
You really just showed us the limits of our relationship. Let's hope it never comes to that.
This next segment's called We Knows What They're Watching, and this is a segment where we discuss our children's latest pop culture obsessions.
So this week's really interesting. So if I haven't said it explicitly, I'm also a host of another podcast called The Story Pirates Podcast, where we adapt stories written by kids into songs and sketches. It's a very fun, absurdist show, and Bryn and Maven listen to it a lot.
You play it for them a lot. You love playing them the latest Story Pirates music.
Does that invalidate what I just said? They therefore listen to it a lot.
I'm just painting a picture. You get them in the car, you drive them to daycare, you turn on your phone.
Well, it's literally my job to be listening to the edits and giving notes. So when I'm in the car, it's a great time for me to do my job. And they're there and they love it. So everybody wins. This week we just released a song called Fart Out Loud Day, which is obviously about farts. And it's a little atypical. We don't do a ton of stories in that vein. But Bryn loves this song, as do most children who hear it, because there's some universal love of farts. Now,
I want to say our mutual friend Rachel Winitsky, who's on both our podcasts, outside of this one, she pointed out something beautiful about Fart Out Loud Day, which is that it's written by two little girls.
Oh, yeah, sisters. They're incredible. The story, I mean, the reason we picked this is this story is actually incredible. It's not just, oh, they said farts, let's
do
it.
Can you just sing a little bit of it?
Happy Fart Out Loud Day. You can just let it out. You don't have to be embarrassed. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba. It's a funkalicious.
So this is
going to
be a divisive song for some parents, I think.
Yeah, I had to force a minor disclaimer into the episode because I knew some moms are going to not be happy about it.
But a big hit with our kids right now because farts are everything.
But I get it. I get it why parents don't want their kids in love with something celebrating farts.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind them doing it, but it is slightly concerning that our kids are sort of being indoctrinated into this fart song right as they're being dropped off at daycare, so that, like, we probably now have, like, the fart kids at daycare.
Yeah, I mean, what 2- and 3-year-olds don't love farts?
Okay, but some kids are probably showing up talking about, like, Daniel Tiger or something, and our kids are like, hey, ugh, farts.
I would much rather our kids talk about farts than that. Have you seen the Daniel Tiger cartoon?
We've only watched it like one time.
Oh, maddeningly. I love Mr. Rogers.
Okay,
let's not get into it. I am worried,
though.
See
how the perception of us as parents will change.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. My only hesitation is simply what other parents think of us. That, like, oh, those are the parents that sing about farts.
I just hope our children's moods and laughter will overcome the whatever stigma we're getting for being the fart kids.
Well, we are the parents that bring the kids that are always sick, that never agree to anything or talk about farts, poke their own poop, but they're very charming. I think that makes up for it.
If I was running the daycare and I did, you know, used to work in a school and also was a babysitter, I would say I would be cool with the fart kids.
Oh, yeah.
I would be happy to have the fart kids.
I worked at that same school as a playground monitor. And kids didn't like me.
Okay. But that was like middle schoolers. That's different.
Yeah. But because I was that, like, Tanner. And then I'd just look at them from across the hall and just slowly shake my head and they'd be afraid of me. And they called me Mr. McNerdy behind my back. Did I tell you a story of when Tanner, I always use the example of Tanner, who was a real kid. He came up to me and he was like trying to find someone. He goes, oh, hey, Mr. McNerdy, and realizes that he calls me by the name they call me behind my back to my face, and his face went white.
Do you know one of the kids at that school referred to me as the lioness? That was my nickname.
That's a tad bit cooler than Mr. McNerdy.
Kind of like insulting, but also like, I was like, I think I'm earning their respect. And this other teacher We were like not real teachers. We were just like after school people. And
oh, yeah. We were not teachers in any way.
No. So there was like a big, large power difference between us and the teacher. So this teacher overheard this kid referring to me as the lioness. And he was like, "Are you cool with that?" And I was like, "Yeah, I think so." Because those kids were pretty horrible. I mean, they were just annoying after school kids.
They were 13.
And I was like, this is probably the best I can do here.
Oh, yeah.
Just have them be scared of me.
The lioness. Like, yeah. Is that basically a 13-year-old's way of like saying bitch?
Yeah, I guess so.
Because he's like, you're fierce.
And... Well, that kid was like particularly difficult. And one time when I was like towards the end of that job and I was getting pretty frustrated and ready to leave, maybe shouldn't say this, but him and his friends came over to me, and one of them was talking about him in front of him and was like, "He's being an asshole." And I was just sort of like really tired, and I was like, "Yeah, that sounds about right." And that's why, like, I did it. I was like, I think I can get away with this because it's not like I said asshole.
But you are very much literally condoning it.
Yeah, I just...
You said, that's right.
I just didn't feel like I had a lot of recourse there. It was like, what am I going to do about this situation?
Boy, remember when Super Mario gave everyone Cokes?
I'm not good at laying down the law. I'll admit that.
No, I am. That's why they hated me. A little context about Super Mario. My coworker looked exactly like Super Mario. And there was one day, the teachers were all having an after-school like meeting or whatever. So there's a giant tub of Cokes. And they were like, these are not for students. So I stood there for an hour as students were like, oh, can I grab a Coke? I'm like, you can't grab a Coke. You can't grab a Coke. And then I needed to go across the room. I leave the room for like a minute. And I come back and Super Mario has given every kid there a Coke. And I come and he looks at me, he's like, they wanted Cokes.
Yeah, that guy was horrible.
And I was like, great, you're the hero, and I'm an asshole.
That was like a very weird, specific private school situation where that guy was just like a guy from the neighborhood that they hired at some point.
You're like, oh, he's a good guy.
And it was just like a lot of weird like nepotism. Like,
then they hired his son.
They hired his son.
whom I got fired.
Yeah. Well, he was like friending kids on Facebook.
He was
or something.
Friending middle schoolers on Facebook, and yeah. He had all of these pictures of him doing dumb things and drinking.
It just feels, I mean, maybe
he was incompetent.
I guess this stuff does happen at public schools, but it just feels like this weird private school thing where it was like, wait, this person has no qualifications. How did they end up working at a school?
But it's also great because that's how we got hired.
Yeah, true. But, you know,
we're cool.
I'm good with kids. I let them say swear words.
You're the lioness.
And I'm Mr. McNerdy.
Tell you what, they used to call me Peter McNerdy. And when you're an adult and a kid calls you Mr. McNerdy, it still hurts your feelings.
Okay, if you have any questions related to parenting, send them to weknowspod@gmail.com or find us on Twitter @weknowspod.
Or if you have any parenting hypotheticals for our Would You Knows segment, please send those along as well. But until next time, Beth, anything you want to plug?
You can find me on the Reductress podcast called The Reductress Minute.
And you can find me on the Story Pirates podcast if you love farts. Until next time, I'm Peter McNerney.
I'm Beth Newell.
We Knows Parenting. We Knows!